You are able for the gospel. The Holy Gospel today comes from the 25th chapter of the book of St. Matthew, beginning with the first verse. Then the kingdom of heaven will be like this. 10 bridesmaids took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. When the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them, but the wise took flasks of oil with their lamps. As the bridegroom was delayed, all of them became drowsy and slept. But at midnight, there was a shout. Look, here is the bridegroom. Come out to meet him. Then all those bridesmaids got up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. But the wise replied, no, there will not be enough for you and for us. You had better go to the dealers and buy some for yourselves. And while they went to buy it, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went with him into the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the other bridesmaids came also, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he replied, truly I tell you, I do not know you. Keep awake, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour. The Gospel of the Lord. You may be seated. My dearest, dearest siblings in Christ, grace and peace to you from God, our Creator and our Redeemer, Jesus Christ. Amen. Don't imagine any of you actually know this. Not many people do. My father, when he was a younger man in his life, he was a professional motorcycle racer, dirt bikes to be precise. There's kind of this really cool motorcycle culture today. You see Supercross and the X Games and stuff like this. Guys on motorcycles who are flying off of jumps and doing a million tricks in the air with their bike and then somehow getting back on the bike and landing. It is a huge culture today, motorcycle racing. But there was a start to it, and this was back in the 60s and the 70s. And that's where my dad was. My dad was friends with all of the ancestors of motorcycle racing, all of the big names. He knew all of them. He wasn't a good enough racer to create something out of it, but for him, he was good enough to have fun with it, and it was a culture that he was a part of. And there were a lot of amazing people during this time. The stories of when dirt bike racing started are incredible, and they all started out in Death Valley, and that's where my father was. And this wasn't a sport of wealth. These were a lot of guys coming back from Vietnam War, trying to make sense of the world that they were coming back to, and so this was a place, whether a person had money or not, that they could come and gather with a bunch of other roughneck kind of people and just have fun. My mom and dad, being in this culture, knowing all of these people, they had one friend in particular who really did not have a lot of money at all. In fact, this guy and his wife, they were so poor that they would come over to my parents' house with Monopoly. And my dad and mom would have a six-pack of beer and some pizza, and that's how they would spend their evening, because this other couple just did not have any money. But still, they would gather, and they would have a wonderful, wonderful time. Well, at some point in this racing culture, this guy comes up to my dad with the proposition. He says, I'm going to start a sunglasses company. Primarily for motorcycle racing, but for sports people everywhere, sunglasses that you can wear while you're doing these sports activities. Do you want to invest in my company? And my dad says, how much are you going to sell the sunglasses for? And he said, $70. It was back in 1970s. My dad said, you're insane. That is not going to do anything. I will absolutely not invest in your company. That guy's name was Jim Gernard. And when Jim Gernard sold his final stock in Oakley, he was worth $2 billion. My dad missed his moment. My life could have been very different. And the consequence of missing that moment of investing in Oakley when it was first starting for him was that he didn't get to make a lot of money investing in this company. And that's not a terrible consequence. I mean, you kind of think, what if? But my dad went on to live a very wealthy life in his experiences and in the people he got to share that life with, maybe not monetarily. But that's not a consequence that you really spend your time regretting. And you think of this consequence we hear in the gospel today. For the five foolish women who had to go back and buy more oil for their lamps. The consequence there is that they are locked out from the party. To hear Jesus say to them, "I do not know you." Now that's a consequence that just seems rather ominous, doesn't it? It almost comes off again as one of these messages. Believe in God or else. Kind of a fear tactic that the church has used over the years to try to get people to come into their doors. Missing the moment in this text comes off as if we really have only one moment to be aware of. One moment where we better be prepared. And if we're not, well, we are just out of luck forever. And it comes off that way, but we do need to consider, in only one chapter after this text today, one chapter later, Jesus will take a group of disciples up to the Garden of Gethsemane and ask them to stay awake while he prays. And they will fall asleep, not once, but three different times. They will miss their moment. And then shortly after that, Peter, who said he will walk to the very planks with Jesus, will deny Jesus, not once, but three different times. Peter will miss his moment. And then all of the other disciples, save John, will flee when Jesus is arrested, when their beloved teacher is hung from a cross. Every one of them will be hiding. They will have missed their moment. But every single one of these people who Jesus has just shared this parable with, these people who have been following him around, these people who will miss their moment, every single one of them will have another moment. The moment to build the church. The moment to be the people who are responsible for sharing God's love with the world around them after Jesus is gone. It's probably safe to say that yes, Jesus is calling us to be aware of this moment that comes, but if we miss it, I don't think we're going to be locked out of the gates of heaven forever. Because clearly God is a God of second and third and fourth and fifth and sixth and many, many chances. The warning in this text is not that we won't get to go to heaven one day, even though it's been interpreted that way often. The warning in this text is that we may not get to experience heaven. That these moments will be presented to us throughout our lives. And we will miss them. We will miss a moment to encounter God here and now. It reminds me of a story I once heard. There was a guy who lived a very long and fruitful life. And when he died, he went up to heaven. As he was approaching the pearly gates, he saw this huge line of people coming out. And as he was looking at the people, he saw what you might describe as the dregs of society. He saw people who clearly were very rough around the edges, people who suffered with drugs and alcohol throughout their life, people who were homeless, people who had very clearly made mistakes. And as he looked at this very long line of people trying to get through the pearly gates, he thought to himself, well, I haven't done any of that stuff. I've lived a very good life. I went to church every Sunday. I put money in the offering. I married my high school sweetheart, and I never once strayed in my marriage. I never got in trouble with the law, and even though I complained about them, I paid my taxes every year. I'm going to walk to the front of the line. And so he did. He marches right up to the entrance of the pearly gates, and as Peter sees him walking up, he says, "Whoa, whoa. What are you doing?" And the guy says, well, I've lived a much better life than these folks here. I'm going into heaven. And then Peter says, come with me for a second. We're going to go look into the pool of remembering. We're going to take stock of your life. And the guy says, okay, I've lived a good life. And so as they go, Peter shows him a memory of his childhood. And he says, here's Johnny, who was bullied as a kid. The guy says, but I never bullied Johnny. I never did anything wrong. And Peter says, no, but look, here you are not stepping in. Here you are not helping him out. And the guy just simply put his head down. And then Peter goes on to another memory in his life. He says, look here, here's a homeless woman you walked by every day to work without giving her money. The guy says, but I gave money to the church. And this woman clearly made mistakes in her life. She clearly squandered her gift. It's her fault. This isn't because of me. And Peter said, Jesus never asked you to judge people before helping them out. And again, the guy put down his head. And then finally, he brought a memory from the later part of his life. Here is your brother, who you fought with, who you were estranged from, who you never forgave. The guy said, but it was his fault. He's the one who did everything wrong. I never did anything to him. He's the one who struggled through life. He's the one who was mean. He was the one who made mistakes. How can I be at fault for this? And Peter said, didn't Jesus ask you to forgive 77 times? And again, the guy put down his head. And after realizing all of these moments he missed on being God's presence in this world, he said to Peter, well, I guess I don't get to go into heaven, do I? Peter said, no, of course that's not it. Absolutely you get to come into heaven. But look at this life that God has given you. And look at all of these moments that you've missed. Heaven started a long time ago for you. And you squandered that gift. That is my fear as a pastor. That is my fear as a Christian. As someone who has studied the Bible, who has made this a career for myself, my fear is not that I'm going to get to the pearly gates one day and Peter is going to tell me all of the sins that I committed. My fear is that I'm going to get to the pearly gates one day and Peter is going to say, look at all of the moments you missed. Look at all of the ways that you forgot to treat this life that God has given you as a gift and to embrace it for what it was meant to be. That is my fear as a pastor. I spend a great deal of time thinking about what the point of life is. Is the point of life just to get to this other place one day? I really don't think it is. The point of life is a series of moments. It's a series of moments that is presented to each and every one of you. Take stock in your life. Think of all of the moments that have come your way. Life is a series of moments for us to be able to encounter God, to know God, and to experience God's love in each other. That's it. That is the whole point of life, and it's such an amazing gift. If it wasn't, we wouldn't be able to experience joy, would we? Point of life to experience love. What an amazing thing, right? For those of you that have experienced love, is there really a feeling better than that? To comfort someone in need, to forgive someone who doesn't deserve it? Have you ever felt such fullness in your life outside of doing something like that? To show grace, to know God. Life is a series of moments. And truth be told, we miss them. We miss them often. I've missed many of them in my life. Sometimes we don't recognize them. Sometimes we just simply turn the world off around us. It's a lot easier to just go to work 9 to 5, 5 days a week, come home, have dinner, plop on the couch and watch TV till bedtime. That's pretty easy. But Jesus' whole point of this parable is not that we're going to be locked out of heaven. It's that these moments are going to come into our lives, moments where we get to share how we have experienced God's love with other people, and we will miss those moments. And the sad part is you will never get that moment back, ever. That moment will be gone once it's passed. And you have an opportunity to embrace it, or to just let it go. But you will never, ever get that moment back. But it's also never too late. As Jesus uses these men and women to build the church after he's gone, no matter your age, no matter your income, no matter your skill or your talent, it is never too late to embrace the moments that will still come to you. To embrace the moments where you can share God's love. It will never be too late. I want to give you a retelling of this parable, one kind of more for our context. You, obviously, are the bridesmaids, even you men. Every single one of you has that lamp, and its fire is lit. That lamp is God's love in your life. And I'm sure every single one of you has experienced that in some way. It would be wonderful to go around the room and hear each and every one of your stories. When was the time that you first experienced that God just absolutely loved you? I know that that's there because otherwise you wouldn't have walked through those doors this morning. That lamp is God's love in your life. And it's real. And it's a story. It's an experience. It's something that is very unique to you. Something that has happened in your life where you just know unequivocally that God loves you. And your call as a Christian is to go out with that lamp, out into the world, to share the light of that love, to help other people realize that they have a lamp too, that God loves them no matter what. And you have a choice. You can go and share that light, or you cannot. Either way, your oil is going to run out. And that's what this place is for right here. That's what this community is for, of everybody sitting around you. This is the place where you fill your oil again. This is the place where if you are starting to forget how much God loves you, you come and you talk to Pastor Chris. You hear that message again. When life has gotten you down, when there are struggles going on, when there are pains or hurts that are causing you to forget that that lamp is there, this is the place where you come to get more oil. This is the place where you come to find comfort and compassion, to know that God loves you no matter what. And that's all that this place is. this is not the point. This building, this place, this is not the point. The point is out there. This is where you come to be nourished and refilled for your week. Because your calling as a Christian is not in here, it's out there. Don't miss your moment. Amen.